sure would like to know if they don't do something by and by. The rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the oil disaster, America's Chernobyl, and it is very much that. Starting back on July 15th, out of nowhere, BP announced they were capping the well, or a well. There's still quite a body of evidence to suggest that the well that they showed us being capped on TV was not the one that was doing that huge bloom of oil into the Gulf for weeks before them, but I'm not going to get up on that one today. It's kind of interesting to see, as more and more oil surfaces and more dead sea life surfaces, to see the organs of officialdom, whether it's British Petroleum, the state governments, the federal governments, all these various agencies are basically, they're on the same page, which is to say, this is not an issue. There is no meltdown of the reactor. There is no Navy in Minsk. There is no big refinery fire. It is the enemies of the state who are putting out this misinformation. By the way, little side note, apparently Alex Jones got basically hammered by this ABC interview in which they accused him of being a purveyor of paranoia porn to basically try and make it look like anybody who is not in agreement with the official version of events is some kind of a dangerous radical kook, which they've been saying all along. But now the new spin is that we are the cause of all violence inside the United States of America. So when I tell you that Vincent Foster did not really commit suicide, that's the reason why a guy goes into a liquor store and shoots up the owner. Apparently, that's the link you're trying to create there. So we're seeing this real intense, and this all goes back to Cass Sunstein, who's one of Obama's advisors. They're trying to find some way they can kookify the net. They know that they can't start telling the truth to the American people to win them back, because they got too many lies they got to protect. And so the only way they can try and lure people back to the corporate media and to the government talking points is to try and make the internet look worse than the government, which is really reaching it. You know, that's a bit of a reach. I don't know how we could look worse than the government. The government is really, they've got the gold medal for corruption and perversion and all the rest of it. Speaking of which, apparently the government of Portugal now has its own version of the Franklin scandal, this huge pedophilia ring thing that's going on over there. But I'm wandering off the topic here. Getting back to the Gulf oil, we're seeing all of this negative information surfacing at the hands of private citizens, private researchers, people who are not on the BP payroll, and we're seeing the same consistent message. Well, yeah, that looks like a problem, but we don't think it's connected to the oil spill. We don't know what is causing it, but we know it's not the oil spill. So anyway, officials from the Mississippi Department of Marine Resources took a bunch of oyster fishermen out to the reefs off the Pass Christian Harbor on Wednesday to basically say, you know, let's take a look at what's going on for the coming oyster season. 80 to 90% of the oysters they dragged up from the bottom were already dead. Dead. 80 to 90%. Now, if you're in the oyster business, and 80 to 90% of your harvest is dead coming out of the water, what is that going to do to your profitability? What is it going to do to your bottom line? What is it going to do to your survivability? And still we're getting, you know, from the Mississippi government, we say, well, boy, it's a shame, but we don't know why those oysters are all dead, but we know it's not from the oil spill. Oysters are on the bottom of the seabed, which is where the oil goes after it's sprayed with the Corexit dispersants. The dispersants don't really make the oil go away. It doesn't just vanish magically, like Tinkerbell with her wand saying, boom, the oil is gone. They spray it with these chemicals to make it sink out of sight, so it looks like it's gone. That's what they've been doing all along. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
The Berkeley's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeley with its exclusive black Berkeley filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeley Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeley Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Credit cards, some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're starting to get pictures coming in from the quake down there in Christchurch, New Zealand. I'm going to have to revise something I said earlier in the show about earthquake code in what is a notoriously seismically active area because we're seeing pictures of collapsed brick buildings, which is maybe these are older buildings and they were grandfathered in from before modern quake codes, but I'm seeing a lot of collapsed brick building, and of course brick is not something that you want to build in a seismically active area. And you can have buildings with a brick facade, but real brick construction is not something that you want to have an earthquake. In fact, I remember my wife and I were right in the middle of the Northridge earthquake in Southern California, a lot of cracks in the building where we were in. We lost about half of everything that we had. The one building on our block that did collapse completely was this old brick restaurant building that had been built before the current code, and for some reason they'd never gone back to do a retrofit, which is a big business in Southern California to do seismic refits, to go back and just sort of fix all that stuff. So they've had a really horrible time down there in New Zealand, and I really feel for them. I've been through a big quake, and it's just, oh, man. Alrighty, now, getting back to the Gulf oil situation, more and more evidence is surfacing that the damage continues, maybe getting worse, and it's just kind of funny. It's just like earlier when we saw CNN trying to explain why the increase in unemployment numbers had to be a good thing, and we're seeing all these official spokesmen saying, oh, no, there's what all this stuff that's happening. It's not from the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. I guess British Petroleum's out there with a huge amount of money, and basically they're blackmailing the U.S. government, saying, you know, if you don't let us go on drilling, then we're going to stop paying for the cleanup, and it'll all be on your head, and you won't have the oil for your wars and everything like that. And so we're seeing, like I said, this is America's Chernobyl. The government is treating this environmental catastrophe the same way the USSR tried to cover up Chernobyl, and it did not succeed. So what have we got going on here? We're seeing a lot of whales, not just one. We're seeing whales coming up on the shore. Let me grab a couple of these things. Whales at Delray Beach and Jensen Beach, Tiger Shores Beach. All these whales coming up on shore. They're taking biopsy samples of the blubber to see if there are petroleum distillates to be found. And you've got NOAA and EPA coming in saying, no, we'll do the testing for you. Give us the samples. And the labs are saying, we'll take care of it ourselves here. As we mentioned yesterday, there's been a website set up for people to voluntarily send in samples from all over the Gulf area, collected rainwater especially, to find out what's going on. Because as we reported last week, they're finding these contaminants in swimming pools, in inland waterways, because it's evaporating off of the Gulf with the water being carried inland and dropped all over the ground, and all of the pools and all of the food supply as contaminated rain. And we're getting another report of an inland fish kill near Destin, Florida, where apparently a large amount of oily sheen showed up on this water and the fish started dying. And again, the official word is, well, we don't know what it is, you know, but we know it had nothing whatsoever to do with the oil spill, and hey, we wouldn't lie to you, we're the United States government here. Apparently, they're starting to test the blood of people away from the shorelines who are reporting strange, unexplained medical issues, and they're finding petroleum distillates and toxic chemicals related to the dispersants in their bloodstream. This is not a problem with the Gulf water. It's not a problem with the beaches. The normal processes of weather are drawing these chemicals up into the air. It is coming over the land and falling back down as rain. At the very least, I mean, think about all the burn-offs they did. Of all the oil blobs they set fire to, and the big black smoke went up into the air with the clouds, mixed with the clouds, comes back down as the rain. Numerous videos on YouTube showing rain coming down with an oily sheen on it, including into pets' water bowls, which precludes that you're seeing oil that is simply welling up from inside the asphalt, which I know may have been the case in some of these things. All right, we've got, let's see, Kurt in Oregon. Aloha, Kurt. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. As far as Alan Simpson and talking about veterans costing the government too much, if you'll recall, Alan Simpson was co-author of the Simpson-Mazzoli Amnesty Act that allowed millions and millions of illegal aliens to have U.S. citizenship, which ultimately was a big draw in our economy. And I would like to know if I'd like to know if the good senator is willing to forego his congressional retirement and maybe send his Social Security check back to the Treasury so that he can set an example for the rest of us.
You are so funny. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I mean, the senator very much has an elitist attitude that he's entitled to his money and his exalted living standard, because after all, he's a senator and he deserves every penny that he's able to screw out of the system. But those gosh darn veterans, they're just a drain on the nation at a time when we can't afford it. And the patriotic thing is to go out and kill yourself so you don't cost the government any more money.
He was a sunshine soldier and didn't serve in combat, so he doesn't have much room to talk.
No, he really doesn't.
No, absolutely. And you can see the media, as you've said, the media is following an agenda, and I saw it the other day. Yahoo was running a front-page article telling people how you can downsize your retirement, you can move into a smaller house, you can get an economy car, and maybe a bicycle would be nice to help save money.
Starvation is fashionable. You know, starvation is fashionable now. And, you know, and it is. It's amazing. I mean, the entire message we're getting from all levels of corporate media and government is you must make do with less so the government can have more. That is the entire agenda, to wring the maximum amount of money and work out of you for the least amount of upkeep. And that's not what we set up this country to be. We set up this country for the government to take care of the people, not the other way around.
Yep. You're so right. Well, thanks.
All right, you got it. Time to get angry. Going to switch over to John in Austin. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? John in Austin going once.
You hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. Aloha, Mike. You know, I used to live, I lived in Jensen Beach for a little while. It's on the Atlantic side, and which is kind of scary because that means whatever's come in has gone around the Keys and is moving up the Atlantic side.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Right,
you know, we've had these unexplained fish kills all the way up to Massachusetts, in fact, all the way up to Maine, and I'm expecting that we're going to see in the aftermath of Hurricane Earl that we'll see all kinds of oil contamination coming onto the beaches there along the Carolinas.
Yeah, and I'm doing a little research here. We had a major fish kill in Lake Travis here
mm-hmm.
in Austin, and they're blaming it on low oxygen levels in the lake. And that's the first time. I'm going back to see if this has happened before and been documented, just to make sure I don't open mouth and insert foot. But in my memory, and I've lived in Austin over 15 years, I've never, in Dive Lake Travis, I've never heard of that happening before.
Well, and it seems to be the catch-all expression now about, you know, oxygen poor areas and so forth and so on. But what they're not telling you is why would the water be low on oxygen? Well, because it means that the algae and the plankton that put oxygen in the water are dying off. The microbes that are going to feed on oil contamination also remove oxygen from the water. So it's not just enough to say.
I don't think they have microbes in freshwater lakes that feed on oil.
Well, there are microbes in freshwater lakes, and we're not sure what they're going to feed on. I mean, they're not the ones that are injured.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is it's a much more complicated system. In theory, you know, the surface of a lake is enough surface for oxygen and carbon dioxide to be swapping back and forth.
Right. It's the
so if you have a body of water that is low on oxygen, something is going on that is unusual. And
right.
It's already documented that this oil contamination can start a cascade of biological events that lead to oxygen depletion. But definitely some of these dead fish have got to be analyzed in a lab for oil contamination. Because, yeah, like I said, the real problem is these toxins are evaporating off the Gulf of Mexico, or they're being burned off the Gulf of Mexico into the smoke that goes up in the clouds, and it rains back down on the Great Plains, and we're going to see more and more of these situations.
What would be interesting, Mike, would be to take samples on the intercoastal in Florida.
Yes.
At the Fort Pierce Inlet, which is just north of Jensen Beach, and take on the intercoastal side. And let's see what's happening, because if this stuff gets into the intercoastal, it'll feed down and get into a lot of the other water systems and contaminate.
It'll be everywhere.
It'll be everywhere.
It will
yeah.
be everywhere. And, absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, this whole, personally, I wish there was if the oxygen level's low, it's in Washington. It's just not low enough. but we need to kick BP out of the U.S. Just flat kick them out.
Well, again, we expect BP to behave the way they've been behaving. We expect oil corporations to behave the way they behave, whether it's Exxon, you know, up there in Prince William Sound, or British Petroleum here, or whatever. We supposedly pay taxes to have a supervisory body, the Minerals
Right.
Management Service, that is supposed to keep this process safe. We know that the Minerals Management Service has been sitting around their office on their taxpayer-funded computers, surfing internet porn, enjoying their larger-than-private sector salaries, doing drugs, getting hookers from the oil companies. Obama had 400 days to get the MMS to do their jobs. He didn't do it, and this is the result. Thank you for the call, John. We're going to let you go. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And just finishing up on the Gulf oil disaster, the continuing saga, a story that just came through, a BP cleanup worker, somebody who actually was hired by British Petroleum to go down there, is saying they are still finding not just tar balls, but liquid oil in the water in Pensacola. So it's still out there. It's still out there. All right, I want to talk about a couple of stories. One was from yesterday, and the other happened earlier today. Yesterday, there was a big thing was all over the media about how there was a suspicious car in Midtown Manhattan, and they were bringing back the stories about the Bandini bomber, and oh, you know, we've got the bomb squad, and we're there making sure that we're, you know, we're safe and everything, and it turned out to be nothing, completely benign, absolutely nothing at all. In other words, there was no story. Nothing happened. It's an ordinary car, ordinary parking spot, ordinary content of the car. Nothing happened. And yet it got headline treatment across the country. Why? To remind you that you are supposed to be afraid of those gosh darn terrorists. And sure enough, we had another one today down at the Miami airport where they found this metal cylinder in the suitcase of a scientist. And they arrested him and they took him away for... interrogation, and turned out also to be a rather benign situation. And the media is like going back through this guy's past and said, oh, well, he mishandled botulism once, and if he had done it again, he could have killed an entire city! But he didn't. He didn't. Nothing, again, it's a non-story. Nothing happened. Benign explanation. Completely ordinary. Just guy traveling on business, carrying a business sample. Nothing happened. Nothing bad. And it's still given the headline treatment to remind you that you must be afraid of those gosh darn Muslim terrorists. What's going on is really very simple. Those that want war with Iran were not able to get it by portraying Iran as a nuclear threat. I mean, Israel's still out there. Tony Blair is still out there saying, we cannot allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. They don't have one, Tony. They don't. They just don't. And he's out there screaming, we must take military action. Okay, Tony, here's your rifle, here's your parachute. Step on this here airplane, and we will call and tell Ahmadinejad that you are on your way to shoot him and then give him an autographed copy of your memoirs. Maybe not in that order. So then, over the last couple of weeks, teeing off from the Muslim Community Center in New York. It's not even really a mosque. It's a community center. It's like it's a YMCA for Muslims is what it is. And they've got a prayer room in there. Just like most YMCAs and YWCAs have religious iconography there for their sponsoring organization. And kicking off on that, they tried to sell this new Islamophobia that, ooh, if you're a Christian, you've got to hate the Muslims because they're terrible icky poo people. And I'm rather proud to observe and conclude that the American people didn't fall for it. They understand it's an attempt to drag us back to the 12th century with the unholy crusades. You know, where the Christians and the Muslims are going to kill each other off and leave the world safe for Israel to pillage at will from then on. And they didn't get much traction with that either. So now we're back to the old standby of, well, gosh darn it, we've got to be afraid of Muslim-based terror, even though in this case we didn't really have terrorists, Muslim or otherwise. But they're still trying to find something that they can use that you will snap to attention and say, heck yes, I will throw my children's lives and my bank account at a new war in Iran. And it's not really happening. But basically, it's, you know, these are non-stories. And I call attention to it because in August of 2001, we were seeing the same kind of stories about Osama bin Laden. About what a bad guy he was and why we had to be watching him. And he was definitely a terrible human being. But he hadn't done anything newsworthy. It was just, this is a bad guy. Be aware of him. And I remember I was still writing over at Free Republic at the time, and I said, this feels like a sales pitch. We're being pre-sold that this guy is the biggest villain since Lex Luthor. And they're getting ready to do something that this guy is going to be either part of or blamed for. And sure enough, that's what happened on 9/11. So now that the Iran nuclear threat has not worked out, because we all remember how we got lied to about Iraq, and because this attempt to just get the Christians and Muslims hating each other just because they're Christians and Muslims, that hasn't worked out. They didn't get traction with that. So now we're back to this thing about, ooh, terror, terror, terror all the time. So we've got to be vigilant about that because, you know, we're coming up on a holiday weekend. And who knows, you know, like I said, you know, Israel could drop a bomb on the Golden Gate Bridge, blame Iran for it, and say, go get them, go hurt them, hurt them. Wouldn't be the first time they've played games like that. Google the Levon affair sometime. Israel has a long history of trying to trick other people into fighting their wars. Attack on USS Liberty. Israel sinks the USS Liberty, or tried to sink the USS Liberty, and blame Egypt for it, so that the Americans would go whoop on Egypt on behalf of Israel. It's dirty tricks here. But I wanted to call attention to those two stories, because if you really think about it, they're not stories. Nothing happened. The guys are getting up on the media and say, you know, no bomb was found, nothing happened, you're all perfectly safe, but we're concerned. Film at 11. I'm dating myself then. Nobody does film at 11 anymore. It's all videotape. Or even that's giving my age away. It's all digital media. Alrighty. Let's see, was that music I was hearing here? Yep, that's music I'm hearing here. Alright, we're going to take another break. When we come back, talking about the peace talks between Israel and Palestine. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're getting some emails in. Hi, Mike. I live in Waimate, or Waimate, 200 kilometers south of Christchurch. The quake woke us, and me and my wife had some upset kids to try and calm down. It was the strongest one I've felt, but I wasn't too worried because, like you said, we have a good earthquake code down here. I've just been talking to a friend in Christchurch. He's fine. His house looks all right. So far, just broken windows and dishes. He hasn't heard of any serious injuries, but he's heard of some looting and so forth and so on here. So, all right, well, maybe they're doing okay down there. I think that's tacky. You know, when you have a disaster like a quake or a tornado or a hurricane and people just sort of feel like, oh, go out, we'll loot, get some stuff, you know. And I think that's just tacky. It's tacky. It's just what it is. It's tacky. It's déclassé, or as the Russians say, né culturel. All righty, so getting back to our show here, I wanted to talk a little bit about the so-called Israeli-Palestinian direct peace talks. I put an article on whatreallyhappened.com about the talks, which features a photograph of Benjamin Netanyahu, President Obama, and Palestinian President Abbas basically walking out of their meeting toward the microphones for the press there. And you can tell from the facial expressions and the body language, Netanyahu got everything he wanted, Abbas got nothing, and Obama got nothing. And they're still on the microphone trying to turn this into some kind of a tremendous foreign policy victory for the United States of America and for Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, who, by the way, is apparently already starting to air test ads for her presidential campaign for 2012. There's a scary thought. For anybody who's thinking about voting for Hillary Clinton, I have two words, Vincent Foster. And if that doesn't work for you, cattle futures. So anyway, according to a source that is with the Abbas delegation, and remember, the reason these talks are never going to work is because the elected government of Gaza has been excluded. Abbas does not speak for Gaza, pretensions to the contrary notwithstanding. He does not represent the Gazans. When Fatah came in to Gaza to try and take it over, they were defeated. The Gazans said, no, you are not the government we voted for. Get out. So that's the first fraud. We're hearing from within Abbas' own people that apparently the U.S. government has pressured Abbas to make nice and go back to the talks every 2 weeks, even though Netanyahu is continuing the expansion of the settlements. Now, the only thing Abbas was coming here to get was a freeze on the construction of settlements in the West Bank. And so he's being told, you are not going to get what you need or want, but we demand that you sit there and listen at the table while Netanyahu screams at you about how those Palestinians whose homes are being bulldozed dare to throw rocks back at the Israelis. So these are a non-starter. These talks are completely pointless. They exist only so Barack Obama can go into the midterm elections and say, see, we're accomplishing some good in the world. Now, I'd be far more inclined to vote Democratic in the midterm elections. And I would be far more inclined to vote for Obama in 2012 if he had sent in the Sixth Fleet to Israel following their attack on an American flagged ship and American citizens in international waters last May. The fact that he did not, to me, reveals that he is a traitor to the American people. He serves Israel. This is the president who just reported Arizona to the United Nations Human Rights Council, because refusing to let Mexicans into your state is a violation of their human rights. And yet Obama told Israel it's cool for them to gun down Americans in cold blood in international waters for daring to take cookies into Gaza. The man is not even consistent in his policies. He's completely reactive. Israel, oh yes, do whatever Israel says. He's completely reactive. He's not a leader. He's a salesman. He's a great salesman. Great speaker. Can actually inspire you if you don't know what an absolute total crook he is. But he's not a leader. He's not showing any leadership at all. Anyway, let's see. U.S. officials are basically confirming that all of these so-called peace talks between Israel and Palestine, well, given that they're a non-starter anyway, Israel keeps going back to, what are we going to do about Iran? Meaning, what are you going to do about Iran? So Israel is back to pushing the United States to attack Iran for them. Israel doesn't want to spend their own money and their own children to attack Iran. They want you to send your children and spend your money to attack Iran, when Iran has not attacked us or anybody else for the last 200 years. Anything that looks like an attack from Iran that happens in the next couple of weeks, I would view with a great deal of suspicion. Absolutely. So Blair is out there, you know, beating the drum for Israel, on behalf of Israel, saying, yes, we got to go get Iran. Go get Iran. You go do it. Not me. I'm old. I'm retired. I'm rich. I'm not going to go to Iran. You go over to Iran here. Meanwhile, Secretary of Defense Gates is trying to smooth things over with Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan. NATO planes have killed not just Afghan citizens. They've killed 10 of Karzai's campaign workers for the upcoming elections. Ooh, that's a whoopsie. That is an absolute major foreign policy whoopsie. We're going to go to the phones. Wes in Idaho. Aloha, Wes. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Where do our rights come from?
Rights don't come from anywhere. What the Bill of Rights and the Constitution do is acknowledge and recognize the rights that we already have. And that is an important point to make, because as long as you start from the position that we have these rights inherently, which is what they said in the Declaration of Independence, then government may not abridge or remove those rights. No, I know there's a lot of people who are trying to say, well, the government gives you these rights. No, the government cannot give you a right.
No. I thought they were God-given, but I wanted to know what your opinion was, sir.
Okay, well, my opinion is that the rights of free human beings are inherent in the human beings. Government cannot give you a right. They can give you a privilege. They cannot give you a right, and they cannot rescind it.
I certainly understand. Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you very much for the phone call. All righty. Okay, like I said, Hillary is running test ads, apparently, because it is a little early to be starting the campaign, but she's running test ads in New Orleans. Apparently, they're trying out the campaign slogan, "Where there's a hill, there's a way." The first thing I thought of when I heard that slogan was, "Over the hill," in 2012. Okay. Alrighty, well, I know I'm probably going to regret this, but heck, it's a Friday. We're coming to the end of the show, and I got a three-day weekend coming up here. Stephen Hawking, anytime I think I'm having a bad day, I think about this guy in his wheelchair solving the mysteries of the universe. And I just say, okay, I'm not having a bad day compared to him. I don't agree with everything he says, but I admire him greatly here. Stephen Hawking did an interview as part of the promotion for his latest book, in which he says a God is not necessary for the creation of the universe, that if you start with raw energy and, you know, the behavior of nature, that the universe will simply come about, with which I absolutely agree. And it's ignited this huge debate, where it's being basically spun that Stephen Hawking says there is no God, or one is not necessary. And of course, it's getting the Bible bangers just completely up in arms over there. And they tend to settle on this this fact that scientists still tend to use the word law a lot. The law of gravity. The second law of thermodynamics. And they're saying, well, if these are laws, who created the laws? Because law implies conscious, sentient decision-making. And they're right for the definite term of the word, but it's a misapplication. Law is a rather ridiculous anthropomorphism for behavior. There is no law of gravity. There is the behavior of objects of mass relative to the curvature of space-time. There's no law limiting speed to sublight velocity. That limit is an epiphenomenon of the convergence of time and energy at light speed. They're not laws in the sense of legislative laws as we know coming from Congress. They use the word law because it's a simple shorthand. But they're not, the use of the term law to describe science is a relic from an age of primitive barbarism when everything seen in nature was presumed to be the result of a decision or a choice by the presumed God. Why did the rock fall down the hill? Well, it wanted to be at the bottom of the hill. That whole animism mythology, where everything had a spirit and a consciousness and a choice to do what it did. Why did the tree burn down? Well, it committed suicide. It had the Dutch Elm disease. It put itself out of its misery. Things like that. We understand now that intelligent life forms have behaviors, and inanimate objects have properties. We will anthropomorphize things like our computers because their properties are of a complexity that they are can be perceived as behavior. But we should be very careful about using or overusing or overinterpreting the word law relative to science. When they talk about the law of gravity, it's not really a law. It is a behavior of predictable repeatability, is what they're talking about here. Now, obviously, if you're a long-time listener, you will understand that where Stephen Hawking and I disagree is on the theory of the Big Bang. Because, in my opinion, the Big Bang is itself a relic of religious delusion where we must see that there must have been a moment of creation for the entire universe. Well, 99% of the universe is empty space. It's nothing. Nothing's not religious. There's nothing sacred. And if you've got nothing, nothing does not need a beginning or an end. It's because it's nothing. So forth and so on here. We know from basic atomic physics, matter cannot be created or destroyed, only changed from one form or another. And so the implication there is that matter and loves don't require a beginning or an end. A particular configuration, such as myself, my wife, or this computer, can have beginning and end, but the matter and energy contained therein do not. And therein lies our infinite direction, in both directions, conclusion here. Now, here's the situation. The Big Bang is based on the observed redshift of objects in the universe. Edwin Hubble, who discovered the redshift, did not himself conclude that that meant the universe was expanding. That came from another astronomer who happened to be a bishop, who said, well, since we know that one possible source of that redshift is relative velocity, then the universe is expanding. And if we run the clock backward, then it comes down to a supreme moment of creation. And they said, huzzah, huzzah, the Bible and God are proven. And it was at that point that the steady state versus Big Bang theory kind of went away. Ah, but there was a fly in the ointment by the name of Albert Einstein, who came out with a theory called relativity. And one of the interesting aspects of the theory of the relativity is the black hole, where an object of sufficient mass will crush down to a singularity of such infinite density that nothing, not even the speed of light, can escape it. That's why it's called a black hole. Obviously, during that moment of creation, where everything came out of this one primordial egg, it would have been the universe's most intense black hole. So the theory of relativity directly contradicts the theory of the Big Bang. But rather than go back and question the theory of the Big Bang, because you got the Pope saying, no, we like the Big Bang, please keep the Big Bang, they try and come up with some sort of convoluted cosmology of, well, the rules didn't really apply at this moment. This is where the magic came in, because after all, we're talking, you know, we're not saying it, but we're talking about God here. So he just sort of made it to break the rules long enough for the universe to come into existence. And the parallel that I draw in the article that I wrote about the Big Bang, and I'm working on a 30-minute documentary about this right now, which probably no network will ever cover, but I'm going to make it in any way and put it out on YouTube. But here's the situation. The parallel is like the theory of epicycles, because religiously oriented scientists, you know, were going along with the biblical doctrine that the Earth was the center, the unmoving center of the universe. And so when they tried to explain the observed reality of planetary retrograde motion, instead of saying, maybe we need to go back and re-examine that prime religious assumption, they came up with the theory of epicycles. And for hundreds of years, epicycles was a legitimate academic discipline. You studied epicycles, trying to make it work so that you could have your Earth-centered biblical universe and the observed reality of the universe all at the same time. It ultimately didn't work out because Galileo came along and said, look, I'm sorry, but Venus is orbiting the sun, not the Earth. Mercury's orbiting the sun, not the Earth. And we're just one of many planets, which Giordano Bruno had been saying as well. So now we have this religiously desired theory of the Big Bang. It's directly contradicted by the theory of special relativity, but nobody dares question the dogma of the Big Bang, even though it's got major problems, some of which I lay out in that article of mine. So they're trying to basically, it's like epicycles all over. We'll figure out some way where we can have our primordial egg and eat it too. So on this level, I very much disagree with Stephen Hawking. And I'm hoping, I've actually gotten emails from some astrophysicists who've read my article and said, there might be something there. And I think we're beginning to see the beginning of the erosion of this slavish belief in the Big Bang, because it really doesn't work out. It should have collapsed the moment Einstein came out with relativity, because the two are completely incompatible. But, individual scientists are just as susceptible to coercion, bribery, religious hysteria as anybody else. We certainly got a lesson on the integrity of individual scientists with the recent ClimateGate scandal. But I think we're beginning to see where this idea of an expanding universe and a Big Bang, it really doesn't work out at all. So, all right, wait, let's see. Okay, we've got another call on the line. Joel from Wisconsin. Aloha, Joel. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I heard you say that rights, you didn't know where rights came from. They're just inherent in humans?
No, it's inherent in humans.
Well, according to my interpretation of the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers believed that rights came from God. They put a supreme being above man and said that rights came from him, therefore no man could take them away. And that was the principles behind it.
Okay,
that.
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret here. I greatly admire the founding fathers, and about 95% of everything they said is stuff that we should pay attention to. But we know that Thomas Jefferson had slaves and was having sex with them, which we don't agree with now. Ben Franklin thought you could cure kidney stones by urinating while standing on your head. And so the fact that God is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence is as much an addressing the political realities of a theocratically based nation at the time. I don't think we need to say that that absolutely proves that there is a God or that rights come from God. Obviously, I disagree with the Founding Fathers on this one. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm reading my emails, and somebody wrote in, even Buddha said that the universe has always existed, and and good for him. And I realize I'm slightly Buddha-shaped myself, but I'm sorry, he was a deadbeat dad, and I really don't spend a lot of time paying attention to the stuff that he was saying here, because I have zero tolerance for that kind of behavior. All righty, let's see. Moving right along here, a couple of things we're finishing up. Somebody was in the chat room was saying, science is a religion. No, it isn't. Science and religion are mutually exclusive. Science is what is knowable, provable, repeatable, above all, reproducible results. And religion is occultism, that which is not knowable, but you can believe in it, and you can play with it, flying spaghetti monster, magic pink unicorns, and so forth and so on. But the two are mutually exclusive. And you've had a lot of religious fanatics burn up a lot of scientists, but I don't seem to recall any scientists who actually burnt up a bishop. What can I tell you there? All righty, a couple of interesting stories to finish up our day with. Up in British Columbia, very interesting story. There's a big fight over a videotape. Apparently, in British Columbia, the police arrested these girls and threw them in the drunk tank in the jail. And then these two girls just decided to have a little sex, a little girl-on-girl action there in the drunk tank. And the cops just apparently decided to let them go at it, watched it, called in their friends, and shot a video of it. And so now the girls have sobered up a little bit, and they've decided that videotape is worth a considerable amount of money. And so there's a big fight over it, and of course they're saying, oh, put it on YouTube, put it on YouTube. And, you know, it's now all locked up, and there's a big stink there. But it sort of reminds you that your image of the police that you get on TV is not really very accurate at all. And you need to be aware of that kind of a situation here. Meanwhile, over in Great Britain, the government there in, Chinnor Hill Nature Reserve in Oxon, the police department in Oxon, is under criticism for using a taxpayer-funded helicopter, 500 pounds an hour police helicopter from RAF Benson, Oxon, to hunt down people who were picking up dead, dry twigs in the local forest. And, of course, my response to that is, are you kidding me? To spend that kind of money to grab some people picking up some old dead brush in the forest floor. First of all, it's an incredible waste of money at a time when the government cannot afford it. Second of all, did we learn nothing from Yellowstone National Park and those incredible wildfires where the environmental self-described expert said, oh, don't touch anything, just leave it, this is nature's way of doing things. And they built up this huge overburden of dead dry brush. All it took was one spark and half the park burned up. They should be thanking these people for going in there and picking up the dead brush off the grounds of the forest. I understand not wanting them to chop down living trees or cut boughs off of living trees, but if they're picking up the dead fire hazard on the ground voluntarily, let them do it. Let them take it home, use it as a fuel source, and you're going to reduce the fire hazard in this nature reserve. I don't know where they get these people who are in charge of these government offices, because they don't seem to really have a lot of brains. And on that, this is the end of our show, Powhana Friday. We'll have a three-day weekend. We'll see you back Tuesday, 9/11, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 2 in the afternoon. Until then, have a good weekend. Have a lot of fun. Spend time with your family. Drive carefully. Stay angry. Stay skeptical. And aloha, America.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-